Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you on this Wednesday morning. It's the 21st of September, and well, it's a beautiful day, and it's a beautiful day to have all of you together to talk about what's going on in this world of ours. So let us get to it. We'll begin with our introductions, and then we'll welcome you to join in on the conversation. Roundtable at WAMC.org. WAMC's Alan Chartok joins us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Oh, here you go.
Good morning. Yeah, there. Good morning. Good morning. And I have to say that I'm a little concerned. We're a month away from the fund drive, and I'm looking for all those generous people who will put a challenge on the table, Joe, because we know that they work during the fund drive. We're doing pretty well on people who are stepping up, but we really do need all the help we can get. And if you just write to me or email me at alan@wamc.org, I'd love that. Okay, I'm done.
Okay. Director of the Journalism Program at the University at Albany, Rosemary Armeo, is here. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very good.
Excellent. And Libby Post is here. She is a political consultant, and she joins us each week, and we thank her for being here.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much.
Well, all right. So let's go on with news in the world and what is happening. There is a lot to talk about, so we'll get to as much as we possibly can this morning. We begin, I guess, with we'll start off with 12 officers injured, fire set as protests break out in Charlotte after police fatally shoot a man. Police in Charlotte shot and killed a black man they say was armed outside of an apartment complex on Tuesday, setting off violent protests that continued late into the night and left 24 people injured. And this, of course, is also not the only
incident this time.
Right. So this is what is happening overnight and making news and, of course, of great concern. And I guess the question is, what obviously we've been talking about this for a really long time. So there's this case in Charlotte, but there's also the case in Tulsa, Oklahoma, mm-hmm. with the fatal shooting of an unarmed black man. So the authorities had made a claim in that case as to what happened. Then, of course, photos came out and
proved the lie.
Yes. So attorneys representing the family of Terrence Crutcher said he could not have reached into the window of his stalled vehicle, as police said, because photos show that window was closed. So there is also there's also great protest in that city as well. I'm always a little hesitant to lump incidents like these together because they are different and but yet
it's a disturbing pattern.
It really is.
They're not that different. We have the same elements involved. And Alan, isn't it getting harder to defend the great work that the majority of cops do when the number of times that we're seeing this pattern emerge?
It is, and there are. It's always easy to stereotype police as being unconcerned and, racist and the rest. That's not true. But all it takes, as you point out, Rosemary, is a couple of bad apples. And that's what happens in many of these cases. We have the families denying that the people who had been shot were doing anything but minding their own business.
Right.
In one case, waiting for their child to come off a school bus.
Right. Reading a book.
Reading a book in a car.
Reading a book. Now, reading while black is a new thing as opposed to driving while black or walking while black. This is not good. This is really not good. And I can't say any more than when you hear the heart pangs of the families of a son who says he's never going to see his father again, can't understand why he's not going to see his father again.
Last night we were driving home on 377 in Menands, and from a distance it's a big road, and from a distance we saw the police lights, and as we get closer there were four cars, police cars. One car was stopped and everyone in the car was African American.
Wow.
And I was like, and they were young, just from what we could see just from passing by. And I was like, really? Again?
And I'm sorry, Rosemary, but the one thing that so many people, so many people of color have said again and again and again, and it's so true, why is it that so many more people who are black get stopped than people who are white?
Yeah. Whoops, sorry.
Libby mentioned in the break something
important. Not me, Joe. I swear it's not me.
Police in New York did a magnificent job catching a bombing suspect.
Right.
They did it quickly, efficiently. Did not kill him.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Did not kill him.
Isn't it interesting?
He's a bombing suspect.
Right.
And yet we have this happening over and over
again.
That
entire incident over two states and 3 days did not have any fatalities.
Exactly. Right. So why is this happening? I'm sorry, we're approaching a police state. We need our cops.
Especially if Donald gets
elected. And we need them to be aiming at the right people. And right now, increasingly, it looks like they're not. And they lie about it after.
Most of the time, if it's the perpetrator's white and he's doing something heinous, he lives. And people of color can just be reading in their car.
So let's bring politics into this for a moment. Hillary Clinton condemned the police shooting of an unarmed black man in Oklahoma, using the incident to reignite calls for criminal justice reform and to highlight racial biases in policing. The horrible shootings, how many times do we have to see this in our country? In Tulsa, an unarmed man with his hands in the air. I mean, this is just unbearable, and it needs to be intolerable. Meanwhile, Donald Trump continues to call himself the law and order candidate and last week secured the endorsement of the National Fraternal Order of Police, which is the nation's largest police union. Trump said that police are the most mistreated people in this country.
Wow. Here's what I want to be hearing from Fraternal Order of Police and other unions and all these good cops that we keep getting reminded about that they're out there. I want to hear them come out and condemn this sort of stuff and maybe come up with some recommendations to stop it. And you know what? Those two cops who ran over the woodchuck in Rensselaer, good. It's part of the same thing, this arrogance.
They lost their jobs.
No, they were suspended without pay. They did not lose their jobs.
Okay, I saw something yesterday saying that they were out of money.
But it's all part of a piece of this great, we do give great power and firepower to our police, and yet we don't live in a police state. They ought to be standing up for this, too. I want to hear that.
We have to give power back to the police because crime is rampant.
No, we don't. We give power back to the police, and you have a police state. That's what Putin has.
Well, we just heard from Joe, who said the lady cop shot the unarmed black man in the back, in capital letters, while his hands were raised. Looks like murder.
And people are calling for her to be brought up on murder charges.
She ought to be.
Yeah.
So when we look at these, do you feel that because of the campaign, this back and forth, and you just wonder if how much these issues will be discussed in the debates. You wonder how much these issues will be discussed further before the election, other than just the platitudes of the campaign.
Well, Joe, I think you really do raise an important point here. It's obvious that if Hillary Clinton is to win, that there is a constituency, and that constituency has to be motivated. We know that. So you can ascribe this to her saying what's right, or you can ascribe this to saying what will get people out to vote, because if people of color, for example, know that she's in their camp, they might come out. And if in coded ways, Trump is giving the exact opposite impression, looking for a particular white constituency to vote for him, then you know what this is all about. Or, of course, it could be both, in both cases. Right.
I don't know. Once again, it reminds me of how I would not want to be president. I mean, in the same debate, it has to cover everything from climate change to cops out of control in minority neighborhoods. That's quite a range. Mm-hmm. And in between are things like, Syria and nuclear weaponry.
And trying to get Trump to actually say something credible instead of platitudes and throwing bombs.
Well, no, but, Libby, once again, look, you and I are on the same side politically. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, you can say all you want about his saying platitudes and his lying and his saying, bad things. But the fact of the matter is that half this country is lining up and saying, I'm going to vote for him.
It's amazing, isn't it?
No, it is. Well, it is amazing until you look a little further. But anyway, there it is. And you really can't dismiss everybody as being without merit.
I'm not. But what I am saying is, as we go into these debates, and these debates can make or break a candidacy, he needs to come out with something, some policy that has actual fact to it, that has actual, you know, plan to it. And he also can't just dismiss in totality the fact that he lies every day.
Well, you
and
can't.
Doesn't and but
you can't, but half the country can.
Half the country might, but I still think that there's the undecided out there, and they're still looking to see how he performs in these debates.
I wish that there were real empirical evidence that showed that debates sway votes. That really doesn't.
Unless you do really badly,
right?
Well, I mean, but and, that,
and what more can Trump do?
That's, I mean, right.
We reveal illegalities on his part. We reveal outright lies. That's all been done, and not a thing has changed because somehow the people that Alan doesn't want us to call dumb or misled believe that there's something else more important there, that he'll stir up and shake up the establishment. That seems to be the deciding factor.
That he'll give white people power again.
Yes, deep racist.
Or
racist.
Really keep it out of the hands of those people who haven't enjoyed it up until now.
Which is?
Well, power. In other words, black people, Hispanic people. Mm-hmm. That's what this is about.
Mm-hmm. We saw that on display in Congress yesterday when the head of Wells Fargo Bank spoke to Congress.
Right.
Arrogant, didn't know anything, was above it all, and no, he isn't going to look into like giving back bonuses or firing someone higher up than the clerks who were trying to obey his silly laws.
Right.
White privilege on display.
And they all lost their jobs.
Yeah.
I have that story, so we can certainly talk about it some more. But it's really interesting, that whole Wells Fargo case. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue. We'll talk more about this and other stuff. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from Aubrey Marriott. With 359 guest rooms, special event and meeting space, with internet access, the Market Restaurant and Martini Lounge, and airport transportation, Facebook, Twitter, or aubreymarriott.com. Saratoga Bridges, Boston Spa, New York, presents the Great Pumpkin Challenge 5K, 10K, and Kids Fun Run. T-shirts, food, raffles, and more. October 15th, saratogabridges.org. And Tischler Patch Dental, Woodstock, offering sleep apnea solutions with home sleep testing and oral appliance therapy as an alternative to CPAP treatment. TischlerDental.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Alan and Rosemary and Libby are here, and we welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org. Alan, let's go to some of the letters, and then we'll go into other topics before our news break at the bottom of the hour.
This is from Doreen from Poughkeepsie. Filmmaker Michael Moore spoke at SUNY New Paltz last night on youth voter turnout and lack of enthusiasm for Hillary, but that, quote, old people can shame them into voting for Hillary. I could identify with his comment if you are 18 years old, but you can live through 4 years of Trump. But as a 65-year-old, you don't want it to be that way. Doreen.
Did he say we can shame them or we can't shame them?
Apparently you can't. Filmmaker Michael Moore spoke at SUNY New Paltz last night on youth voter turnout and lack of enthusiasm for Hillary, but that, quote, old people can't shame them into voting for Hillary.
Yeah, I don't feel like shaming them. I feel guilty that we in the baby boom generation have not portrayed to our younger sisters the importance of what Hillary Clinton has done. I think she's extremely misunderstood and underappreciated, and I blame my generation for that. We took it for granted.
And Timothy says, forgive me, all of your ideas and thoughts that Trump will get caught out by some darn thing or another, he says, ditto comments from E.J. Dionne, don't matter a bit. Nothing he says matters at all. He's not Hillary, and the venal mouth breathers hate her. He will win. I sure hope not, though. And that's from Tim. He will
good
win.
Good insult. Venal mouth breathers.
Yes.
Yeah, like that.
To Alan C., please discuss Trump and paying from Foundation for Legal Obligations in Lieu of Fine Payments to
Creditors. It's on our docket. We'll get to it in a minute.
We'll do it, won't we? Okay. Ted says, it may not be half the country since half the country do not vote. So it's half of the half, or maybe 25% of the country supports Trump. Doesn't matter. What'll happen is he'll be president of the United States no matter how you want to parse this. You can say 5% will really elect him. But in the end, that's what it's all about. Ildo says, one officer shot the taser, another shot the bullet. Conclusion, bad police training. And that's from Ildo. Let's see. Robert says, as tragic as the killing in Oklahoma and Charlotte are, why is there no outpouring of rage about the many more shooting and killing that takes place every day in the minority communities where both victims and perpetrators are members of these communities? Chicago, for example, the gun violence capital of America, even here in Albany with the senseless shooting of a 17-year-old mother by her 19-year-old boyfriend.
Wow, yeah.
Why do black lives matter when they are only taken by the police? And that's from Robert. Okay.
Here's why.
Yes.
Because black lives taken by other black lives end up in court. That 19-year-old boy has already been caught and charged and will probably suffer a terrible punishment. Cops who kill blacks and minorities overwhelmingly are not charged or are charged and are not convicted. That's the whole meaning of Black Lives Matter.
From KP. Trump openly said during the primary season he could shoot someone in the middle of Fifth Avenue and not lose a single supporter. Don't we think it's only appropriate that the Fraternal Order of Police back a candidate who subscribes to the same arrogant entitlement that police officers can and do shoot people in the middle of the street under any circumstances they seem fitting and get away with it with nothing more than a paid vacation and the taxpayers' dime, all while gaining support with this ridiculous Blue Lives Matter sham, co-opting the slogan of truly oppressed people demanding equality and justice in this country. And Alan might be right, says Nicholas. Last year I called in and pointed out to Alan that at some point Trump will have to present a defined policy. He quickly corrected me, saying that he did not. As this race continues, Alan seems to be right. Trump supporters don't really care about specifics.
I think,
Nicholas, the way that you're presenting this, it sounds like I agree with.
Right, like you wrote the letter.
I agree with Trump. On the contrary, mm-hmm. I've been saying from the very beginning, this is about an election. That's right. What's happening here. It's not about policy. It's not about right or wrong. It's about the subtext of what this election is all about. And we know what that subtext is.
We're going to pause there. We're going to take a break. We'll get the news at the bottom of the hour. We'll come back and we'll return to this and to other topics as well. We have a lot to discuss. We'll be right back after the short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. And it is very nice to have you with us on this Wednesday morning. Alan and Rosemary and Libby are here. We welcome your comments. Roundtable@wamc.org. All right, let's go to some other issues that are happening in the news. And we'll begin with, we'll talk about Russia and the convoy attack. I want to get into that story. And Russia was probably responsible. That's the language being used. Probably responsible for the deadly bombing of a United Nations humanitarian aid convoy in Syria, American officials said Tuesday, further shredding what remained of a severely weakened agreement between the United States and Russia aimed at halting the war. Aghast at the attack on Monday night, United Nations officials on Tuesday suspended all aid convoys in Syria, describing the bombing as a possible war crime and a cowardly act.
It's an unprecedented attack. There's never been 20 aid workers killed in such a blatant and open attack. And the American intelligence seems not to be refutable. There was one Soviet plane directly over the trucks, the line of trucks, 1 minute before the attack. The Soviets, and I use that word exactly because that's what Putin is doing. He wants to recreate the old Soviet Empire, has paraded paraded a
but
photo.
With religion.
Yeah, but exactly. Has paraded a photo of a drone going through the area and is somehow saying that that's the reason, somehow making it a target to be shot at. But aid has stopped. The people of Aleppo are just so totally abandoned. And I think the ceasefire is dead, although I know Kerry is working with Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, trying to see if it can be salvaged. It's terrible.
You know, when I first heard this story, I didn't have any great confidence in us, in the United States, telling the truth. So when they said, you know, it's probably is a pretty interesting word as opposed to it was, but it probably was, because I thought, well, maybe it was us. Who knows? We've made terrible mistakes.
I can't see. Well, we have dropped stuff on hospitals and things. No. I'm just agreeing with you that that it would not be unprecedented for us to hit news stations or hospitals.
I also thought that, you know, saying it takes the focus off of the mistake that we made just a day or two before in Syria and going after and killing folks that supposedly were on our side.
I thought that's where you were going, Alan.
No, here's where I'm going. Where I'm going, which I think is really a double, triple, quadruple fake out. I now believe them. I believe the American intelligence on this time. I wasn't prepared to do that as I first heard about this. But at this stage of the game, I think they're making a pretty convincing case. I'm still bothered by the word probably. Because think about it for a minute, would probably mean it might have been us? In other words, probably, really, how many choices were there? Mm-hmm. There were the kind of allied interests that we have, or it was them. So if it was the
Syrians, there's a third choice.
Yeah,
well,
it
but
could have been
Syrians. We're talking about planes now.
Yeah, but the Russians have been arming Assad and giving him stuff. We don't know.
Well,
we could
in that
have given
case,
them a Russian plane.
Well, in that case, it is. In that case, it is the Russians.
I'm reminded of the Ukrainian incident where the plane was shot down. The civilian plane was shot down by Russian equipment. But Russia said no, it wasn't us. It was the rebels who like us, who want to be part of us. Yeah, it's just untoward. But you are right about the. I'm not sure that it was a mistake when we bombed 60 Syrian soldiers, and that certainly is. I think the incident that allowed Russia to go ahead and do this, and I think probably is the word that should be used with all intelligence.
But it makes sense for them to do this.
I'm
Why
sorry?
Would they bomb humanitarian aid?
To
Why?
Stop it so that Syrian Assad's assault on Aleppo, which is the heartland of the rebellion,
continues. That's pretty heartless.
It's very cruel.
Yeah.
But, you know, Russia has a policy we do not in foreign policy, which is strictly in your self-interest. Mm-hmm. And it is totally in Russian self-interest to have Syria in the control of Assad because he likes them. That's their big ally.
Somebody will write us a letter, I'm sure, and say, Rosemary, you're wrong. That I tend to agree with you, but that you're wrong because we always do what's in our self-interest, one way or the other, in our perceived self-interest. When we armed the rebels who turn out to be Osama bin Laden, we were doing what was in our so-called interest.
Right. Well, yeah, overthrew Allende in Chile.
There was a reason for that.
Yeah. And I would say to that person who disagrees with me, we have an utterly confused policy in the Middle East. Tell me if we support Sunnis or Shias. Can't tell because we do both and neither. Are we defending Israel or not? Do we stand for that or not? It's very confused right now. I don't think it's a well thought out policy.
And do you know why Donald Trump is gaining some voters? Because he's saying exactly that. That's what he's saying. We have no business being there. We don't know what we're doing. I'm not speaking for Trump, but obviously I'm trying as a political scientist or as looking at this.
Understand his appeal.
To understand what it is.
Yeah, I think that's true. And it would be much easier to just go along with the Trumpian view, like, it's a mess, I'm going to fix it.
Right.
Yeah, get
well,
out
I'm
of there.
I'm going to fix it, right. Yeah. Sure. I'm going to, don't
trust
worry.
Me.
Believe me, I'm going to fix it.
You got to do that with the finger
right, with
point.
The finger thing or this thing or whatever. But, you know, they didn't, this humanitarian convoy, I mean, they killed people from the International Red Cross. They killed people who were just trying to help other people. From a PR perspective for Russia, it's not a good message. It's
all
not
right.
a good thing to do.
So let me just change slightly. President Obama made his last appearance on the at the UN General Assembly yesterday. His farewell speech on Tuesday revealed a man whose eye was fixed as much on the next 7 weeks of the American political campaign as on his place in history. Mr. Obama delivered a stinging rebuke of those who would build walls, a message aimed at foreign leaders who, he said, had fueled rising nationalism, sectarian hatred, and economic inequality, but unmistakably at Donald Trump as well. Mr. Obama has addressed the disruptive forces of globalism before in speeches at Stanford and before the Canadian Parliament, but this time, with his days in office ticking down, his legacy up for grabs, and the global picture more unsettled than ever, there was a darker tone and a deeper urgency to his plea for international order.
It was a depressing speech, I think, and I don't know what more to say. And I'm not sure what purpose it served.
Oh, well, you got to do it.
Yeah.
It's expected of you. Once a year, you get up there, and this is his, you know, farewell address. And he did it.
And he's concerned with his legacy in terms of his position and trying to get something done. And, you know, he was the president that was going to get us out of the quagmire, and we're not out yet. And the quagmire is deeper and murkier than it's ever been.
Yeah, so he was admitting to failure.
I don't think he was admitting failure.
I don't think he was admitting failure. I think he was talking about how difficult this whole situation is when you have multiple players who keep changing and nobody is trustworthy.
All of that was true in 2009 when he got up and
so
said,
Rosemary, let me ask you what you would do right now to end the quagmire.
In
Syria, for
East,
example,
in, Syria.
In the Middle East, yeah.
Okay, when I set down my platform and run for presidency, I'll tell you. Just believe me.
She
I'll
has
fix
a plan.
It. Trust me.
And
trust
if she
me.
Tells you the
it's
plan,
a secret plan,
then the enemy will know the plan, and then they'll be able to take action to subvert the plan.
Got it.
All right, let's
Sound
take a
familiar?
Break. Let's take a break there. We'll be right back. We'll continue. We have letters and another topic or two. We'll get to those and everything else right after the short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Green Conscience Home and Garden, Saratoga Springs, New York, selling New York horse log lumber and flooring using restorative forestry techniques. GreenConscience.com for details. Barnstar's Fall Antiques at Rhinebeck, a 40-year Columbus Day weekend tradition of antiques and design, 120 exhibitors indoors at the Dutchess County Fairgrounds Saturday and Sunday, October 8th and 9th. Barnstar.com. And HMT at the Spa Little Theater, beginning their 32nd season with Shrek the Musical. Weekends, October 15th through 30th at the Spa Little Theater, Saratoga Spa State Park. HomemadeTheater.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to the panel. And we'll get to letters in just a second. I do want to get to the story because I thought it was interesting in the New York Times about the polls.
Fascinating.
We gave four good pollsters the same raw data, and they had four different results. Let's see. Here's four. Ultimately, it was five pollsters. One had Clinton up by three. One had Clinton up by one. One had Clinton up by four. One had Trump up by one. One had Clinton up for one.
Yeah, the numbers confuse me because that's not four. So I
well, one is they're saying four pollsters and themselves.
Plus
themselves.
Upshot,
plus
right.
the upshot.
Okay. I kind of got lost at the two interesting takeaways from that for me were don't pay attention to any one poll. Looking at the average of the polls is the way to go. And the second are the assumption that pollsters make. And the scary one was whether you looked at the history of who voted or self-reported, I am going to vote. And if you went with the actual history, which seems to me most the good pollsters seem to do that more, Trump did better.
I know, I was shocked.
Trump did better with that.
I was shocked with that. And that's usually what you do is you base it on voter history.
Right.
And those are the likely voters. Those are prime voters.
Yeah, you do voter history. You also do pollster histories. How did they do? Where have they been, you know, in the past?
Well, he went to four really good places. None of them were dicey at all.
Right.
And they cooperated with, which is a pretty interesting experiment. But how the variation was 5 points, which is bigger than the margin of error that you usually hear, 3 points. So it was an interesting exercise. Shows again how close the race is going
to
be.
And a warning that we have to be very clear on that. I think an awful lot of people on the Hillary side were believing from day one that she couldn't lose. I think
well,
that
I'm
when
not sure
you
look, who believes that. I mean, even when I go back and look at the coronation talk about her, did she really ever think that after 2008? That was kind of a big lesson to her that you can't assume you're going to get it.
Well, you know, but this is just a question now of polling, for example. And we really, she was way, way, way out ahead. Mm-hmm. And now she's not way, way out ahead. The New York
Times.
She
was 8 points ahead.
The New York, well, that's way, way, way out ahead in a
presidential
election.
Well, according to this article, it was really only 3 points ahead at most if there's a 5-point margin of error.
Well,
if there's a 5-point margin of error, there's something wrong with the poll. That's not supposed to be that big.
But what is going to happen here is as this thing tightens the way that it's been tightening, people who might not have gone across the street, walked across the street to vote, will. Because we know one thing. When it's close, you get more people voting because they think that they can make a difference. The bandwagon is extremely important. Mm-hmm. So if a pollster comes out and says, Hillary's ahead by so... Isn't there a Hillary poll?
Home.
Isn't there a poll today or some kind of new poll?
Well, I just saw that on MSNBC, they were reporting that there was a new poll having her 5 points up. I couldn't see what the poll was because I'd have to listen to video and I didn't want to disturb
that in the middle of the show.
One thing is for sure, she's doing
thank
very,
you.
She
You're
continues
welcome.
To do very well in New York State.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
The reason
that
that's important, if everybody's shrugging now, is because obviously the down ticket people will benefit from that. And I did see that Jeff Klein, who most of you don't know, but who is the leader of the Democrats, the so-called
independent,
so-called Democrats who made friends with the Republicans,
the traitors,
the independent Democratic Party.
That's the word I've always given.
Traitors,
the traitors.
Right.
The Democratic Party decided not to make him a vice chair, which is just they voted for everybody to be vice chair,
except
but not him. Good.
This was, to Libby's point, this is what was released this morning. NBC News Survey Monkey Weekly Election Tracking Poll was released this morning. Back on the campaign trail after being diagnosed with pneumonia and a subsequent break from campaigning, Hillary Clinton plugged her leaking lead against Donald Trump. She now enjoys a 50% support among likely voters. Trump has 45% support.
Okay, well, if you believe that, good, and we'll dance to it.
I think that's to Rosemary's point of the upshot of the upshot was that you can't believe just one poll.
And not only that, there was a 5-point variation with pollsters using the exact same information. When you get a variety of polls that we're looking at, they don't have the same information. Mm-hmm. So 5 points is like maybe the best you can do.
And it also has to do with how you ask the questions.
Sure.
You know, that really is a big thing. But I want to know from the SurveyMonkey part of this, and I haven't really looked at how they're doing what their methodology is. Is this online? Are they
SurveyMonkey
doing this online? How are they making sure people aren't doing this twice? Because, you know, if it's based on IP address, I can go from I can log in here, I can log in at home, I can log in my office, we can log in up at the university. That means I can vote 4 times.
And you can also wonder about who has the money to buy, the equipment to log in.
Right. Right. So I'm just curious about that, if any of those letter writers out there know the answer.
I'm looking right now in the methodology of SurveyMonkey and seeing what I can find, but that's probably going to take me a moment, so Alan can read some letters and I'll see what I can come
Will
up with.
Will do, boss. Okay. Wes says, in this race for picking the lesser of two evils, I had a thought of something that if the moderator of a debate had the nerve to do, might actually make the debate more worth while paying attention to. At the beginning of the debate, immediately after introducing the candidates, moderators should hand all the candidates a printed multiple choice test which the candidates will need to fill in before anybody makes a statement. Thank you for that very helpful letter, Wes.
Let me just interrupt here real quick. So this is the way they do it. Respondents for the survey were selected from the nearly 3 million people who take surveys on the SurveyMonkey platform. Data for this week has been weighted for age, race, sex, education, religion, and voter registration status using Census Bureau and Bureau of Labor Statistics data, as well as current population surveys to reflect the demographic composition of the United States. The poll is online among a national sample of 13,230 adults aged 13, excuse me, aged 18 and over who are likely to vote.
So this is online?
Yes.
I'm going to say nonsense. Nonsense. Yeah. It doesn't mean a thing. I mean, that is really silliness personified. And thank you, Joe, for reading that to us, because it really makes it clear that this is different from finding people of all social strata.
Mm-hmm.
You can extrapolate if you want to, but you're not asking people questions, and you are relying on those of us who have these infernal machines. So, you know, what can I say? Do you want more letters, or what do you want, Joe?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Lisa says, did we not kill 69 civilians in Syria a few days ago?
No, okay. We killed soldiers, not civilians.
What kind of reporting and propaganda is this to say that Russia was probably responsible for the last attack? How is Kerry attempting to help the ceasefire when he allows this rhetoric? This helps if Hillary wins to promote her no-fly zone over Syria and get us into war with Russia, says Lisa. Robert says, if anyone is concerned about Syria or any other unrest in this part of the world or floods of refugees, they have to ask themselves, did you vote for Bush and Cheney in 2000, 2004? Smoke them out, dead or alive. Mission accomplished. Now all of us are reaping the whirlwind. All right. And Linda says, sneaky Republicans. In regards to why the GOP may not be too concerned if Trump wins, it might be that they are planning on him being inept and dangerous enough to impeach. If so, they will be able to control his VP. Maybe, maybe not. Well, that's an interesting letter, I think, because we now read in the paper that none other than Kerry Kennedy has announced that she met with Elder Bush and that he is going to vote for Hillary. That, I think, tells us a lot about it. Wasn't just peak at the way his son was treated, but it was also tells us a lot about what the Republican establishment mm-hmm. is thinking about this candidacy.
It doesn't matter what they're thinking, Alan. They were completely ineffective in stopping him before he was the nominee. And this is just a continuation of the completely ineffective stop Trump at all costs movement.
Well, I don't agree with you. And if you were Hillary Clinton, would you rather have the former ex-president of the United States saying I'm not going to vote for him, mm-hmm. And hear it over and over again, because at this stage of the game, it's not fun and games as it was in the primaries, Rosemary. At this stage of the game, it's deadly serious stuff. And when former presidents tell you that this guy's dangerous, I think it means a lot more now than it did in the primaries.
Do you think he does more? Do you think he goes, given the friendship that he has with Bill Clinton, do you think
he's going to just be, that the foundation is under attack. He's worked for the foundation. And I don't think I don't think he has any more impact with the millennials and minorities than, I don't know.
No, I understand that. But do you think he is going to come out and do a full-throated endorsement and actually do more than what he's
doing? No, he won't. He's too ill to, if he wanted to.
Well, no, but he can
still. It's not illness. It's just that he won't. What he's done now. Now, is this Kerry Kennedy who came out and said this? Was this the woman who used to be married to Andrew?
To a former ex-wife, yes. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so
And Pence, meanwhile, is saying his model for what he'll do, how he wants to be in office, is Dick Cheney. So they're not shying away from the worst of the Bush administration.
Somebody, Lynn said to me last night that Pence characterized himself as a naturalized citizen.
I don't know about that.
What?
That Pence kept calling himself a naturalized citizen.
No, I don't think so.
Well, okay.
You're way ahead of us.
Yeah, I don't know.
Joe's typing away.
Your report on Russia bombing the UN convoy failed to mention a Russian a Russia drone video taped the convoy.
I mentioned
and
that.
It appears to be an act of arson that happens after that happened that, after
part, the That's part of the line. Yeah, that that he may it may have been artillery in the area that fired on the convoy, but that American intelligence is aware of that and has debunked it.
Patrick says politics makes strange bedfellows.
That's original.
Bill says, first, I applaud Rosemary's concise and articulate response to the right-wing trope about black-on-black violence. On a more general note, though, I very much respect the opinions and expertise of the panelists that you regularly have on the round table, I find it remarkable that you have so rarely had an African-American on. Gordon says, I have four words that may explain the Trump supporters. Jesse the Body Ventura. He was a disaster, so will Trump.
Yeah, except that we might not be here in 4 years to vote for somebody else.
I don't see him getting impeached. Not with if Congress doesn't
Trump?
Change. Yeah, Trump. If he
no,
got
but
in.
But I mean us as a country. I fear
you think
for,
we're going to be blown up.
I fear for what he will do. I fear for his desire to use nuclear weapons and not understanding those consequences.
John says, a previous letter pulled the what about black-on-black crime ploy. I suppose that the letter writer then thinks that blacks killing blacks makes it okay for the police to kill blacks on sight. Rosemary's right. Law enforcement job is to prevent crime, not to commit them. And Barbara says, it is becoming increasingly apparent to me that Trump is a master manipulator, is controlling the narrative intentionally. All right. Thank you for that.
We didn't even talk about the latest revelation about his misuse, illegal, potentially misuse of tax.
Okay. Well, we have a minute, so we'll go to the this is the story, which is that you have money to pay that you owe, so you take it out of your charity's account.
Yeah.
Money
you owe because
$258,000 from his charity to settle his legal issues.
Okay, that's a no-no. That is a no-no. You're not allowed
be
to
bad.
Do that. You could go to jail for that. I keep thinking back to Vice President Agnew, who had to plead no low contendere.
Right.
Remember that?
Yep.
And he was out. And that's how he got Jerry Ford. Remember that? And that's how that whole thing happened. So if you get a Trump presidency, you now still have facing you Trump University. You have this new thing. And I suspect in the next several weeks before the election, we're going to hear even more because he has a lot of business.
And again, a David Fahrenthold story.
The Washington Post is doing regulation that I don't understand. Where's Charity Watch? Where's the U.S. government? Where's the IRS
well,
and all of this?
GuideStar
and it's the Washington Post.
GuideStar just came out with a comparison of the Trump charity, the Trump Foundation, and the Clinton Foundation. It'll be interesting reading.
To see a president in jail, but it won't happen. Basically, if he's found guilty, he's got to pay a big fine.
Okay, we're going to stop there. Thank you very much for being with us this morning. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org. We will be back after this break.